Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
We had prayer this morning before the service, and Apostle C said something that just really caused the Spirit of God to quicken in my heart, and that is the foundation that this church was built upon years and years ago. And that foundation, I sensed a quickening, you know, that there's many things that change in life. Political movements change, financial landscapes change, but I hear the Spirit of God saying today that I am the Lord, I change not. That He can be trusted, that the foundation has been set, His word doesn't change. Lord God, we just thank you today. Let's just pray right now for one another. Pray for the people in front of you, behind you, because you never know who comes into the house this morning who needs an encouragement because of things that are changing around them. A job may change, a marriage may change, but I hear the Lord saying, my word is the same. It can be trusted. I am the one that rose from the dead, says the Lord, and my spirit is still here. My power is still here. It's available. My kingdom is still here. It's available. So when you get to the point where you sense things are shaking, know that I am God and I change not, and I will fulfill and complete that which I have started in you. Let's give God praise this morning. Amen.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Hey everybody, it's me, Pastor David, coming to you via video. Though we're enjoying some rest today, Kathy and I sure are missing you guys, and we're looking forward to seeing you just a week from this Sunday. Now next week, you're going to be blessed by our dynamic college and young adult ministry called LIFT. Get ready for some inspiring truths, dynamic worship, and some amazing leaders next Sunday. But today, our founding pastor, Dr. Emmanuel Canastraci, is our special speaker. Apostle C has been preaching the gospel around the world for over 65 years, and together with his wife, who we call Sister C, they led this church before I was set in as the lead pastor. So they were the founding pastors, and what a blessing they've been to Kathy and I, to this whole church family, literally for decades. So we love Apostle and Sister C very, very much. Gateway, Kathy and I love each and every one of you too. Thanks for being such an incredible movement of people, so committed and so filled with vision. You guys really bless my heart more than you know. I love you a lot. Now, please join me in welcoming our founding pastor, Dr. Emmanuel Canastraci, as he comes with this morning's message.
Hello. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a follower. I won't look back. I won't let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by presence, lean on faith, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven, and my road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are not so many. My guide, reliable. My mission is clean, I cannot be bought, compromised, disturbed, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversaries, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up. I won't shut up. I won't let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and reached up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I am a follower of Jesus. I must go till he comes. Give until I drop. Preach till all know. I must work until he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no problem recognizing me or you, for our colors will be clear. Give the Lord a hand. Was that on the screen? I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Should I do it? My Lord. 1 Chronicles 11, 15 to 20 will be on the screen. To win for the Lamb the reward of his suffering. In Europe, in the 17th and 18th centuries, a group of zealous, missionary-minded Christians known as the Moravians, one out of every 60 people among the thousands of one out of every 60 became a missionary. Today, it's one out of about every 7 or 8,000. And their model was to win for the Lamb the reward of his sufferings, the reward of his sacrifice. How much more today do we need a vision to win for the Lamb? Not for Gateway, for the Lamb. Not to be the biggest church in town, for the Lamb of God who suffered and died. We need a vision to win for the Lamb, for those for whom he died. It's not for our glory. It's not for our kingdom building. It's only our privilege to present to him his purchased reward. Let me give you a prophetic thing right now. I don't preach. You got to. You got to. You must. I used to do that early. I used to preach, repent or turn and burn. You're going to hell. God bless your dirty, wicked hearts. I don't do that anymore. That got a lot of people scared into heaven. Scared the hell out of them. I don't preach you must as much as I preach what I'm going to share today. And I have labored by the hours, hours and hours, till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, making sure that God would let me give you this here. So let's just turn to our text and see if it's on the screen. Now, three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David. Actually, it says in the King James, the cave of Adullam. And the host of the Philistines were encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the cave or the hold, hiding. And the Philistine garrison, thousands of the enemy, were then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that thou would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is in the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the thousands of Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was at the gate and took it and brought it to David. Oh, that thou wouldest give me a drink. Because in the book of Samuel, it's, oh, that thou wouldest give me a drink. Would you just bow your head right now and close your eyes? Hear this cry. David is not issuing a command. He's not issuing orders as the general, as the king. He's not asking for them to do something. He's just voicing a wish. A wish. Oh, Samuel's put it this way. Oh, that someone would bring me a drink. Oh, that someone would go to my well in my city and bring me a cool drink of that fresh living water. Now, Father, I'm asking you to anoint our eyes and our ears and our minds and our spirit and our soul. Dig, Lord God, even the wax out of our ears to hear the cry of our David, the greater David, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who died, the one who gave his life's blood, the one who suffered agony. Oh, that I might get a drink from my well called Gateway, my well in the city of San Jose, in the county of Santa Clara, in the state of California. Oh, that I might have a drink from my well of my planet Earth, of all the world's populations, all nations, all kindred, all tongues, every tribe, every race, every color. Oh, I desire a drink. Oh, Father, let us hear that prayer. Let us dream about it as I did. Dream and hear the cry of the Spirit of God. All right, you can open your eyes. To begin with, the city of Bethlehem was David's city. It's called the city of David. And at the time of Christ's birth, it was still being called the city of David. Number two, the city was under siege by the Philistine. The hordes, the host, the garrisons were there at the gate and all over the city. None could go out, none could come in. They had control of the population that no one would escape. Number three, David desired a drink from the well that was rightfully his within the boundaries of his city. And number four, three men put their lives in jeopardy to respond to the king's desires. Let me get point one. The city belonged to David, even though the Philistines controlled it. Let me just give you an illustration. I was walking with my wife down in the Waikiki. We hadn't been able to walk. Her hip was out and suffering pain. She would walk about maybe a block or two, and then we'd have to go back to the car. One time, we left our car so far away we couldn't make it to the car. We hailed a cab. And I said, honey, how do you feel today? She said, I feel like walking. I said, let's walk. We parked the car about 2 or 3 miles from downtown or the Waikiki area because You can't, it costs $30 or $40 to park a car. And we started to walk. And as we walk, we start thinking, we're going to start giving a drink unto the Lord. We're gonna do some personal witnessing, personal evangelism. And so we started walking, and somebody grabbed us. There were four people sitting in a chair, and it was a Jehovah Witness leader. And he said, "Hi, what's your name?" I said, "I'm Emmanuel. And this is my wife, Shirley." He said, "Oh, good." And then he picked a scripture that he never should have picked. He shouldn't have done it. Of all the gospel that he could have talked about, he didn't mention Jesus. He didn't mention God. But he went into the Epistle of John and he said, "The world lieth in the lap of the wicked one." We posed a question before he said that. He said, "What do you think of the world? What do you think?" And I said, "The world belongs to God. The world was created by God." And he said, "No, it lies in the lap of the wicked one. You don't understand. Yes, we are the people of God. We are Christians. We are saved. But we're in a world that is occupied. The Philistines carry more territory, more occupation than the church. We are minimized. We are vilified. We are comedians to the world, emotional imbeciles, calamity hollers. We're a bunch of freaks and nuts and kooks and morons." They think that they own this world. They didn't die for it. They didn't bleed for it. They didn't create it. They had nothing to do about it. And Jesus says, "This world is mine. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, except the communists." Except certain races or certain colors or certain ethnic group. The earth is the Lord's. You've got to understand the ownership of this planet. If you don't understand the ownership, you're going to have a God that's too small and a devil that's too big, and we're losing the battle because we do not have the revelation of what God sent his son to die for. Come on, you can clap if you want to. Don't give up on this world. I know we've got rapture fever, especially if ISIS gets here and wants to cut off some of our heads. We want to get out of here. I want to tell you something. We don't want to get out of here until we get as many people out of hell, out of darkness, out of the kingdom that does lie in the lap of the wicked one. But Jesus Christ died not in vain. I used to believe that we're just a small little remnant of people that are going to be raptured up, and God's going to kill everybody and cremate them and vaporize them. But now I've got a vision of God who says, "I want a drink out of my well. And don't tell me how hard it is. Don't tell me about the Philistines. Don't tell me about the siege. Don't tell me about all of these evils. I know that. And yet I desire a drink out of my well, out of my well, out of my well." Put up your hands and say this out loud with me. The world belongs to Jesus. It doesn't belong to the devil. He's an intruder, folks. He's an enemy. We live in occupied territory. We live surrounded and besieged by New Ageism, by socialism, by communism, by immorality, by ungodly belief systems. You say, "You're painting a bad picture." Well, I want to tell you the good picture. God thinks that this is his world, and God thinks that he has the people that have enough power enough anointing, enough zeal, enough passion, enough of the desire in them to please God and love God, that they will bring him from his well thousands and millions and billions. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. One out of every 60 Moravians brought Jesus. And out of that crowd came Charles Wesley, Charles Finney, all of the Whitfields, all of the great revivalists and reformers and evangelists that won millions. And it all started in prayer meetings that went on all night, seeking God before there was anybody being saved, before there was any revival, when it looked like it was hopeless, when it looked like, I can't even tell you what was happening in the 17th and 18th. Take me an hour to explain to you the difficulties far greater than we're even having now. With no high tech, with no television, with no radio, with no printing presses, with no methods of conveyance and communication, with none of these facilities, no buildings like this housing hundreds of people or thousands of people. And yet, a group of people prayed day and night, hour after hour. They did not get discouraged. Nothing was happening. And then suddenly, I say, suddenly, everybody say, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled that group of people, and they become flaming missionaries and evangelists, and some of them led thousands and thousands and thousands to Jesus Christ. They're not seminary graduates. They were not educated in some kind of a institution. They just got on their knees. They didn't know as much theology as they knew neology. They prayed, they prayed, they prayed, they prayed, they prayed, they prayed. We have an upper room in this building. You need to visit it. We have a prayer meeting Saturday. You need to visit it. We can turn America back to God. We can defeat ISIS. We can defeat the demonic force. We can rid this earth of the Philistines. Come on, everyone. Hallelujah. We can drive them back. We can pull down strongholds. We can take the kingdom by force. All right. Is that enough? Enough to stir you? Man, I have lost hours of sleep over this message. Are you ready for the next point? Not only does the well belong to Jesus, but three men jeopardized their lives. I could hear him talking. What is the king praying for? A drink from his well? The Philistines are there at the gate. We can't get in. We can't get around. But he desires it. What a love relationship they must have had with their earthly king. How much more should we love Jesus and say, he died to save the world? Every one of you should take 10 of those cards today. Every one of you. We don't have enough. We'll print more. Every one of you should start bringing a drink from every neighborhood, from every area. Take it to work with you. Just an invitation to come and have some coffee and a fellowship where we can tell them somebody died to change their life, to fix their marriage, to bring hope, to deliver them from immorality and pornography and help them make it. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Let me give you the fourth one. They put their lives in jeopardy. It's David's city. In the wilderness, Satan told Jesus, if you bow down to me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus refused to barter. He told the devil, this world belongs to me. You're a usurper. You're a trespasser. I saw a movie last night, and I loved it. I loved it. Was it night before last? It was about the president being hijacked, his plane and everything. And finally, oh, it was a terrible movie. But I love the last words. When he got that guy that had killed so many people, shooting right on that plane and going to destroy them all. He finally, the president of the United States, don't I wish this was Obama? Don't I wish this was our senators? Don't I wish this was our Congress? He said, the door of that deal was open, and he took and tied that thing around his neck, the parachute, and he kicked him out, and he said, get off of my plane. Get off of my plane. I start speaking in tongues. I start shouting, my God, that's my sermon. I always need confirmation. Get out of my children. Get out of my church. Get out, you demonic forces that are trying to kill and steal and destroy and demoralize and immobilize. This is God's world. It belongs to him. Jesus refused to barter. To us, he says, I came to destroy the works of the devil. I haven't come to negotiate with him and make some sort of a deal or compromise. I will wrench the world from the grip. This world belongs to me, Jesus is saying. Yes, this world in which we live belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb died for it. And when you see the trees and the mountains and the rivers and the oceans, God is a wonderful, masterful painter. Look at the stars. Anytime I get real depressed, I get outside and walk in my neighborhood on a starry night, and I look at the stars and I say, God, they say there's hundreds of millions, and now they're saying trillions of stars. God, all I need, what I needed last night. I went for a run yesterday. I had the wrong shoes on, and I ran, and I pulled a muscle, and I almost fell down the middle of a four-lane street. But thank God stoplights were on either side, and the cars, there were no cars, but I thought I better hurry, and I ran, and I pulled it. And I said, God, this is just like the devil. Now I'm going to go limping, talking about you being so powerful and you so great and so magnanimous, and now I'm going to go limping with such pain. And I'm embarrassed. And I said, you know I'm embarrassed, and I'm prideful. I don't want to walk in church crippled. You healed me a couple years ago when I was in a wheelchair and a walker. And now, Lord, do it again! And guess what? He did it. I got the right shoes on now. Hallelujah. I can't run like a 20-year-old, but I can preach like a 20-year-old. Hallelujah. I want you to know he still heals today. But when you look at this beautiful planet, the place where we should see God's handiwork is not in the stars and in the rivers and the trees only. And the heavens declare the glory of God. But we should see it. The part of this creation that's corrupted. I saw a man running down the street. Vomit. His shirt all discolored. Saw another man almost stopped the car with a sign. He looked like he hadn't had a bath in months. This is where we ought to see God's creative power. Creatorial power. God's handiwork is the human creation. But it's hard to see God and a man is so drunk he can't walk. It's hard to see God and someone lying on the sidewalk and can't get up. Or a man who staggers out in the traffic and the red light flashes. It's under siege. This planet's under siege. The city of Bethlehem was besieged. The enemy has moved in. He's moved into our schools, our colleges, our universities, and he's even moved into our religious organizations. This world is in a situation. It's under siege by the enemy. 57 million abortions have taken place in America. 57 million. Listen. The U.S. was involved in three major wars, and only 687,000 soldiers were killed in a 200-year history. In the past month, 70 million worldwide, 70 million people worldwide. This planet is under siege. The world is rightfully Christ. His blood declares that the world is his. The enemy has usurped his power over billions of lives. Every day, 15,000 try cocaine or some narcotic. In the next 30 minutes, 39 teenagers will attempt suicide. 123 will have an abortion. 1,685 will try narcotics and become regular users. Our world is under siege. 1,185 children will become victims of broken homes. 1,038 will be beaten and molested by their parents or uncles. In every second, do this, everyone. Just do this. In every second of this day, 38 people will, are you listening? Die of starvation. 44 million have died last year. 45 million starvation. Now I can go on. Our world is under siege. I'm talking about something that Jesus died for, something that is rightfully his, something that he purchased at Gettysburg. Abraham Lincoln said, listen to what this great president said, we cannot consecrate, we cannot dedicate, we cannot hallow this ground. The men who have died here have dedicated it and have consecrated it far beyond our poor power. Lincoln said that it was the bloodshed at Gettysburg that made that place sacred. It is Jesus' blood that was shed on this planet Earth on an old rugged cross, beaten to smithereens at the whipping post, that gives us our motivation for missionary zeal. We are a part of the reclaim and mop up crowd. Last year, the U.S. national debt exceeded $18 trillion. Our problem is that we do not recognize that our true national debt is not owed to Washington. It's owed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not responsible for past generations, but we are responsible for this present generation. I'm going to get rid of the stacks now. I could tell you about Jesus. I purchased them. The hundreds of thousands of homeless people in America, the greatest nation on earth, there should be no homeless people. There should be no, they say that in America, the percentage is millions of children go to bed hungry. I can't believe it. Not too far, there's a city of only about 700,000, and they say 40% of them are homosexuals. Jesus died for them. How many believe that? Jesus died for them. We went down with the team to San Francisco. We got our instruments and our microphones and set up the equipment. And here come a whole bunch of these people dressed like nuns and gay people. And they were so violent. They cut the cord, the microphone, unplugged, and they disturbed. And I said to the group, let's just sing. He is our peace that has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. We didn't kick him. We didn't scream at him. We didn't holler. And as we sang, then we shifted and we start singing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. I want to tell you something. Those violent guys, I don't know if they're guys or what they were. They had habits like nuns. They stopped their violence. They stopped their violence. There is power, folks, in singing the name of Jesus. in saying the name of Jesus, in pleading the blood, in walking around your neighborhood. And there are Philistines. There are maybe even some ISIS people in your neighborhood. Just walk around and just claim the blood of Jesus over that neighborhood. This neighborhood belongs to Jesus. Does anybody believe what I'm saying? Am I idealistic? Well, then Jesus was idealistic. Am I some kind of fanatic? Then Jesus was a fanatic. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that everybody could be part of Gateway. No, that everyone could be saved and not perish, but have eternal life. Let me hear a hallelujah. How many minutes do I have left? David desired, by the way, did you know in our nation, adult bookstores outnumber McDonald's 3-1? We're under siege. David desired a drink from his well. Jesus Christ desires a return from his investment. He didn't die for nothing. I know that you've said it, and I've said it, and all of us have said it. If there was only one person, Jesus would have died. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. He didn't die for one person. He died not willing that any should perish. So don't get so stuck up on yourself and say, if I was the only one, he would have died. He didn't die just for you, honey. He died for every rotten sinner, every immoral, ungodly person just like you were before he came into your life. Turned your life around. He turned you into the direction of his purpose and will. You say, I don't want to hear this sermon. I'm comfortable. My job is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. That's what you pay a pastor for. You pay him to stir up in you, stir up your remembrance why Jesus died. After 68 years of full-time ministry, I can retire. The law says I can. My age says I can. My family says I can. God says no. Do I have to? No. Write this in your notes. I don't have to, I want to. I don't have to risk my life going behind enemy lines. It's stupid, folks. It's stupid. When there are 10,000, 50,000 Philistines, three guys, you can't get in. They got the entrance blocked. You can't get out. You're everywhere, Philistines, Philistines. And something got a hold of them, a passion. Our king, who probably his ancestors built that well, and he was born in Bethlehem, and that's his city, and he loved that water. There's no taste like the water of Bethlehem, and he wants that water. Tired of that rusty taste and that sulfur taste water we're drinking in this cave. Oh, if I could just have a drink. See, there is something in me right now that's crying out. This church here was founded on prayer. The old timers that are here, and anyone that's been here since this church began, you'll know that this church had pre-service prayer. Hundreds of people over the years were on their knees praying. Our prayer chapel was packed, crowded, until we had to move out of the prayer chapel that only seated 90. And move into the main auditorium to pray, to pray. You couldn't sing in the choir unless you prayed. You couldn't play on the baseball team unless you played. We felt like prayer was the key. Prayer is what will save this generation, this untowards, purposeless, drifting into all kinds of pornography and sin and dope and drug. Prayer, we prayed for an awakening and a revival. And of course, secretly, I prayed, God, send me lawyers, send me doctors, I could see him driving up in Porsches and Mercedes, and here come Gary Avila. Here come Clyde Butt. I said, more doctors and lawyers. And here come Joanne and Carol Avila. I said, God, you're getting the wrong interpretation. We're going to take this city. We need doctors and lawyers and business people and millionaires. Come on. And here comes some hippies. Here comes Paul Miller, stoned out of his head, ponytail down to his waist. Stone, sitting on the back seat. And I looked at him and I said, you, God wants to save you now. Come on down. He came down starry-eyed, gazed, fell on his knees, repented of his sins. God saved him, delivered him, and filled him with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody shout, come on! Prayer will create an environment that a sinner will sit here and he won't even hear the sermon. He will be so convicted by the presence of the Holy Spirit that he can't wait for the altar call. Then he'll run down here and be saved. Come on, how many want that to happen? Do you want that to happen? People stirred by the presence of God. Well, Jesus desired a drink. As I fly over the nation, I'm about a 7 million miler already. I've been flying for 7 million miles. And I look out the window, and especially at night, I see all the cities that are lighted up. And I think, oh God, how many of those houses down there, those homes, how many of those people know Jesus? I look out the window and I just start, you know, it's kind of silly, but I just start throwing prayers down there. God, send a revival. I don't even know what city that is. I don't know what state we're in. I know we're 38,000 feet up here, but God, those people, every light in that house down there, there's a family. Please. The well didn't belong to the Philistines. This world doesn't belong to the devil. It doesn't belong to... Listen, Khrushchev, I heard him. I'm not that old, but I heard him take his shoe off. Listen, Khrushchev came to the United Nations, took his shoe off, and I heard him say, the blood of your streets are going to run with you Americans. We are going to come with our missiles and our planes and you are going to be history. I'm so glad he said that, because that got people to praying. It could happen. It could happen again. But we got to pray in church. Come on, everyone. Got to pray in church. All right, I want to tell you something. This generational part of this message is that all of you that are 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, you're part of a generation that God's raised up to be the legacy leavers, the pattern leavers. When they look at you and they say, Papa, Nana, Grandma, Grandpa, Uncle, Aunt, Big Sister, Big Brother, what is the secret of your life? What is the purpose of your life? What are you living for? Why are you here on this planet? For one reason. To love God. To know God. To follow Him. To be His disciple. And to spread the word. They got to see that in you. They have to see it in every leader. And by the way, everybody's a leader. They've got to see it. They've got to see that you are concerned for the lost, the hell-bound, the discouraged, the hurting, the disenfranchised, the beaten down, broken, the crackpots. And they're everywhere. They're everywhere. So as I was sharing with that Jehovah Witness, he was getting a little bit insulting. I said, I've been here now for 35 minutes in a crowd with God. I said, I haven't heard you mention the name of Jesus. I haven't heard you mention that he died on the cross. I haven't mentioned that he loves these people so much that are lying in the lap of the wicked one. You haven't mentioned that. Who cares about what happens after the rapture? That is not the important thing right now. The important thing is to get as many people into the rapture. You've got to get them into the kingdom. You want to get out of here? Well, we'll have a baptismal service after church, and we'll hold you down to your bubble. You want to get out of here? I'm saying this all over the world. I believe that Jesus is going to have a majority. There's an awakening coming to America and to the world when the church will put on the whole armor of God, put on their war clothes. Come on now. And become not just lovers, but become warriors in prayer and intercession. And now comes the punchline. All of you that are 30 and under, listen to me. You are special forces. You are the Delta Force. You are those that are going to bring a drink in places where mom and pop and grandpa and grandma can't reach. You can speak the language. You know the culture. You've been there, done that. The Delta Force is going to be raised, and you're going to jeopardize your life. You're going to be the three mighty men, or the 30 mighty, either or. We're not going to get anywhere in our service for our King unless we prepare to jeopardize our lives. Everything in us wants to save our lives, despite the fact that Jesus said, he that saves his life shall lose it. If you're willing to jeopardize your life to present him to a world that's going to hell, to give him a drink from his well. Paul said, I'm a slave, I'm a servant. Peter, writing in 1 Peter 5:13, says, the church that is in Babylon, elected together with you. How do you think the church got there in Babylon? It's because captives were there. They talked about the Lord and they sang the songs of the Lord. I want everybody to listen to me now. 30 years under, stand up. I want to pray for you. 30 years and under. Everyone, 30 years and under, stand up. Stand up. 30. Run up here as quick as you can. I've got 1 minute. 1 minute to pray for you. In the first service, a guy that was fighting the demons of alcohol, he came forward, and his life has changed with tears in his eyes. Who knows what'll happen here? Who knows what'll happen? My God, this is an army. Wow, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, help me. Oh, God, look at these young people. I want to tell you something. I'm obeying God. God's called you. God's given you a purpose, a reason, a meaning, a destiny. We need all of these people that are over 30. We need them. They're the backup, but you're the special forces. You're the Delta Force. You're the daring. The government will never draft a man my age. But God does. But we need young people that can communicate Jesus' love to their generation. We need leaders among you, leaders. But before you can be a leader, you've got to be a follower. You're going to be discipled. You're going to be trained. You're going to be nurtured. When I was told by the Holy Spirit to come and leave the mass evangelism field where thousands, and I actually preached to 1 million face to face at one time, prophesied over the president, the Supreme Court, the Secretary of Defense, hundreds of leaders in the Philippines. But the Lord told me in 70, one to come. Santa Clara County and came to Sunnyvale. And of course, my prayer, I didn't know what for. I didn't know if I'd been penalized. I don't know if I was being punished. Big crowds, multitudes, sometimes as many as 1,500, 1,800, 3,000 leaders, pastors. Little kid preaching to pastors. And so I came and I prayed, God, send me some people with money. Send me some people. I can see doctors and lawyers and businessmen. I dream Porsches and Mercedes driving up. And here they come. Hippies. Jesus freaks. Long-haired young people. Young people. Yeah! The Lord said, love them. Huh, Tim? You remember that? I had to love you when you got angry. I had to love you when you were sassy. I had to love you when I wanted to slap you. Lawyers, doctors, business people. More young people came. A revival broke out. God told me to love them. They were in my house. I didn't spread cellophane on my couch. Those people were sitting on my couch. They were in my house. My wife is so, you know, so clean and so exact. And she welcomed them in her house. We loved them. We cared for them. Discipled them. Listen. You had to pray an hour every day. We're going to be easy on you. How about 15 minutes or 20 minutes? To start praying for your generation to be saved. How about getting in the presbytery and having hands laid upon you, and prophecy would come to what your calling and purpose in life that is unknown. Some of it you know, some of it you don't. Whether you're going to be a youth leader, a worship leader, an evangelist, a missionary. We need a missionary climate. We got to start getting some missionaries. We need to go to India. We need to go to Nepal. We need to go. My daughter, raised in this church. She makes 4 missionary trips a year. I say, honey, slow down. You can't. You got a 13-year-old daughter at home. You can't go. She said, Dad, you went. Question answered. You have to jeopardize your life. Come here, sir. You got to jeopardize your life. You got to be willing to say, I don't care what people think. I'm going all the way with Jesus. I love him so much. I'll risk everything. I'll bet my life. Give me your hand. I'll bet my life. They went. The Bible said they break through. How do you break through an army of the first warriors, soldiers? They break through and got a drink. How do you carry a drink with millions, thousands of soldiers? They carried the water because their king wanted a drink. You can do it. You can do it. Your life is a testimony. You've got a story to tell. Come here. You've got a story to tell, buddy. I see a light around you. You've got a story to tell. They want to hear your story. I watch you service after service with your hands raised. There are lightning rods. There are lightning rods for the power of the Spirit. Don't get prideful. God's going to use you in a mighty. Put up your hands, everybody. All the lightning rods up. I'm going to pray now. All the people in the congregation, stand and fill the aisles, because we're going to give them a prayer support. You are not alone. Hundreds of you here, you're not alone. You've got hundreds in the audience that are going to be mentors and disciplers and loving and intercessors and caring and encouraging and opening their hearts. And some will open their homes. Come on, put your hands up right now. Are you ready to say a real prayer? We out loud say, Jesus, you are my Lord. I'm your disciple. That means I will follow you. I will follow you. Whatever you say, I will say. Whatever you do, I will do. You're my Lord. You're my master. And I love you. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I want to be bold. I want to be brave. I want to be on fire. Everybody shout fire. Fire. Say fire. Fire. I pray, Father, now that we're going to have 500 dynamic Delta Force, not just three mighty men that David had and 30 mighty men, but we're going to have 500 mighty men and women. We're going to have women that can prophesy, women that can preach, women that can be missionaries, women, young people, going to go on mission trips and mission journeys and cast out devils and heal the sick and deliver drug addicts. We're going to rescue those that are in the sex trafficking business as well as those victims that they have victimized. We're going to rescue the perishing. We're going to care for the dying. We're going to throw out lifesavers. We're going to catch them before they go to hell. We're going to populate heaven. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for everybody at Gateway that become one-on-one evangelists, one-on-one, inviting friends and neighbors to come. I promise nobody's going to scream at them here. Nobody's going to yell at them. Nobody's going to point the finger and embarrass them. We're going to love them into the kingdom. We're going to, everybody take hands right now. Chris, Pastor Chris is going to come and pray. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Amen. That, when you said hold hands, everybody grab hands, grab hands. Because you know what I sensed, Apostle C, is that There's forces among the young. I really sense this prophetically, to separate you one from another, to cause a isolation, to cause loneliness. And I'm sensing in my spirit right now, Apostle C, that you are looking for friends. You're looking for acquaintances. You're looking for people to stand with. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are welded together. I see the arms of Christ around this congregation holding us together. We're not going to battle on our own. We're not going to have to do this on our own. Apostle C, I'm sensing there's a unity. Those three men came together. They were connected. They were not individuals. They were connected. And Father, I just thank you this morning, right now, in the name of Jesus, that the lonely...
Say it again. They were what?
Connected.
Okay. We are connected. You're connected with all the 35-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, 80s. There's only a few 80-year-olds in this church. I want to tell you, you're connected. You are in our prayers every day. There are intercessors praying for you every day. You can't fail because every day people are praying for you. You are special forces. And let me just say this. Lay hands now on one another. Break hands and lay hands on one another. Just say a prayer. Come on, pray for one another. Just say a prayer. Just say a prayer. God, use this person. Use this young lady. Use her. Use my friend. Jesus, pour out your spirit, empower them, embolden them. Okay. I tell you, I wish we had a...
Father, seal us up together, everybody in the congregation, Lord God. You're doing a work here, Lord, to connect us together. We thank you, Father God, in the anointing of the Spirit of God for what you're doing, Lord God, causing us to drink of the well to bring to the Master. So today we commit to you, Lord God. Today we commit to you, Father. We want to bring to you the reward of your sacrifice. And in Jesus' name, Father God, we prophesy that Gateway is going to grow. It's going to be a part of what God's doing around the world. We're going to see people come in and healed and delivered like never before. And you're going to be using us, Father. We commit to that, Lord God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's worship God. Amen, amen, amen.
Surrender.
How great is our God, how great. Shout now. Does anybody hear shout? I want to hear a roaring shout. Satan's defeated. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Everybody grab a couple of these on the way out. Be blessed. Go find somebody. We're going to be inviting them here on the 14th. And let's go do the work of the kingdom. Amen. God bless you. High five four or five people on the way out. And be blessed. If you need prayer, if you need more prayer, we're going to have the healing teams come up. We're going to have the healing teams come up here. And if you need more prayer, feel free. And God bless you all. Bye-bye.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.